Matthew chapter 7, continuing with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. With the Bible before us, let's seek the Lord and call upon His name, even in the victory of the great hymn that we've just sung together. Father, we thank Thee for the theme, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. We know that the blood of Christ is the heart of the gospel, the redemptive work that He did. And we bless Thee afresh for all that Christ procured on behalf of His people. And Lord, it is on these grounds that we meet in the house of God today. Indeed, it is upon these grounds that we seek Thee in prayer and ask for the blessing of Almighty God upon the preaching. Draw near to every waiting heart. Give us expectation. Give us desires. Lord, may we meet with God in His Word. We would count it a tragedy if that was not the case. Deliver us, Lord, from coming to and fro from the house of God out of mere ritual. Jesus, stand among us in Thy risen power. And commune with us now and speak to our hearts. For it is Thy message, this sermon, that we have been studying. These words came from the lips of God's dear Son. So help us to sit up and take note and pay attention to what the Savior has to say further in His Word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been progressing down the seventh chapter, and I want to come to our text, verse 15. Ravening wolves dressed up like sheep. If we were to put a sermon title upon this message, I want you to look there at verse 15. And as we read the Word of God, we'll take in the text of last week. So we're reading just three verses, 13 to 15. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." After the solemn exhortation of verses 13 and 14, these verses that we looked at last week, there comes this warning from Christ. He has told His hearers that the way to heaven is through the straight gate, no other way. And that straight gate leads you on to the narrow road. And that narrow road concludes with life, with heaven itself. And He has also very clearly pointed out that the way to hell is a broad way. And there are many travelers on that road. And it ends in destruction, eternal destruction, in the place called hell forevermore. Now comes this solemn warning in our text. Immediately following verses 13 and 14, we have the words of Christ, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware, says the Lord. It's an arresting word. It's put there for that very purpose. It literally means to hold to have and to hold. And that is, if you think of the broad interpretation of the word, it means to turn one's mind or attention to a thing by being on one's guard against it. Well, that's a long sentence just to describe the one word, but that's what it means. You could say, pay attention. Sit up. Take heed. There are people who will lead you astray. That's what the Lord is teaching in this text. They will tell you that there is another way than entering through the straight gate. The straight gate is a representation of Christ. He's the only gate to heaven. He's the only door. And the Lord says, I want you to know this, that there are false prophets and false prophets that will lead you astray. And so we're going to talk today on this subject, ravening wolves dressed up like sheep. I want you to see, first of all, their designation. They're called false prophets. Our Savior cautions his disciples and those that are hearing this sermon that day about false prophets, lest they would be deceived by them. Now, the business of the prophet, the true prophet of God, was twofold. In fact, you could actually narrow it down and just say his business was one, and that was to proclaim the word of God. But there is this two-way aspect to his ministry. Very often, the prophet foretold the word of God, and so he was predicting things about the future. Things that he said were messages from God that would come to pass. Some of them were in the immediate future. Some were away down through the centuries of time. Some of them, even in Old Testament times, were predicting the last days, the days in which we are living, right up until the coming of Christ and thereafter. So one aspect of the prophet's ministry, especially those of the Old Testament, was to foretell. And so we think of the prophetic word. The other aspect of the prophet was to forthtell and just simply proclaim the word of God, the word that God had given. During the centuries of Old Testament times, God raised up faithful men. Men like Abraham. Abraham is called a prophet of God. We think of the text there in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. It's in that situation of Abimelech and all that's happening there in Abraham's life at this time. And we read in chapter 20, verse 7, "Now therefore," this is the Lord's message to Abimelech, "restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live." So Abraham, there's no doubt, was a faithful man, a faithful prophet of God. Moses was. What a mighty prophet God raised up in that time in the leadership of Moses. The book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, and almost towards the end, speaks of this. And this is what the record of the Bible gives concerning Moses. It's Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. "There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." So we can say on the authority of the Scriptures that there was none like him. Nobody in Old Testament times rose to such a place of prominence as a prophet of God than the man Moses. We think of Samuel. Samuel, as a young man, was brought to the temple, and as he became older and matured, and the Lord was with him, fashioning his life, made him into a prophet of God. And we learn in the early part of his ministry, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20, that all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. People were recognizing that in Samuel, he had a special anointing. He was raised up by God and established by God to be God's mouthpiece, to be God's messenger of that time. Nathan the prophet. That little phrase, by the way, occurs 15 times, at least 15 times in the Bible. He's known as Nathan the prophet, a man with a message from God. Elijah, Obadiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and you can name the other prophets that we have in the Old Testament days. They were faithful men. They were men that brought a word from God. But there were also the false prophets of that time. Turn with me just for a moment or two to the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 13. Deuteronomy 13. And I want you to notice the opening part of this chapter. It's a very important part of the word of God. As we think of the faithful men of Old Testament times, now the word of God is showing us here that there were unfaithful men. There were men who said they were prophets. There were men who declared what they said was the word of God, but they were imposters. They were the false men of that time. And here in Deuteronomy 13, the warning is given to Israel: "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder." And so even the false prophet is able to give signs, and he's able to give wonders, he's able to do miracles. "And the sign or the wonder come to pass," it happens, "whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. And that, of course, is the object of the false prophet. It is to turn men away from God, or the truth as it is found in God. The New Testament had faithful prophets. I'm sure you can think of some. John the Baptist was a faithful prophet of God. The people saw the marks of the prophet in him, and they recognized him as such. And Christ bore testimony of John when he says, among those that were born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Remember what it said there in the Old Testament about Moses? Not a greater prophet in Old Testament times. Come to the New Testament. We know that John the Baptist had great similarities to men of the Old Testament. One was Elijah. We can certainly say another was Moses. A great man. None like him. Born of a woman, says the Savior. In fact, Christ said that he was much more than a prophet. And John had a message from God, a true message from God, and that's what marked him out. Christ himself was the true prophet, the true prophet. That was promised from ancient times, and it was one of the offices that Christ would possess as the God-man. He was the prophet, he was the priest, and he was the king to his people. The Old Testament prophesied that Christ would be such. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and 18, for an example. In the New Testament, the woman of Samaria, having heard from the Savior in John 4, she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She recognized the fact in him as he brought the word of God to her heart. After feeding the 5,000, the people were so awestruck by the miracle that Jesus performed, they were going to make him a king on that occasion. And they declared, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." And they were referring to what the Old Testament prophesied concerning the prophet, the one that would be different from every other prophet, the one that would be, in fact, the Messiah, the Savior of men. The two disciples on the Emmaus Road described Christ as a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And we know that never man spake like he spake. We think of the ministry of the prophet, speaking the word of God. And Jesus spoke the word of God with authority. He told men clearly the message of God. He told them clearly about their sin. The Lord was never shy in coming forward to declare the sins of the nation, the sins of the people around him. He told the people about God, who the true God was. He told them about the judgment day, that there was a day when men would stand before the Lord and give an account. And he told them about eternity, about heaven and hell, warned them faithfully to flee from the wrath of God to come. He told them about the only way of salvation that was found in him alone. You see, prophets declare the word of God, the truth of God. They proclaim the message of the Bible. And there's no other guide, there's no other rule, there's no other truth, there's no other way. Now here in the Sermon on the Mount, the Savior wanted these men, his disciples, and the audience that day to know that false prophets were still around, and that false prophets would also arise, and the people needed to be warned. And so Jesus says, "Beware! I want you to sit up. I want you to pay attention now to what I'm going to say. Beware of false prophets." And if this warning was given at the beginning of our Lord's ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, it was given again when he preached his mighty sermon on the second coming in Matthew 24 and 25. And this is what he said in the early part of the sermon, verse 11 of chapter 24. He warned again, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." He reiterated it again in verse 24 of that chapter. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So strong would the delusion be that if it was possible, the true people of God would be deceived. And if we can say that today, and I don't believe the true people of God will be deceived by the language that is used there, but if we can speak in such terms, we can certainly say those that are not the Lord's people will be deceived. And many have been deceived. And we think of what the Lord is saying. False teachers will be particularly prevalent in the end times. The word false that the Savior uses here to describe the false prophets is a word that means appearing to be the thing denoted. Appearing to be the thing denoted. And in this case, a prophet. They appear to be a prophet, but they're a false one. It also means not according to the truth or meant to deceive. You think of the word that is used in everyday terms, a false smile. Well, it appears to be the thing, doesn't it? But it's false. It's not a true smile. We speak of false money, counterfeit money. You may not be able to tell the difference between the counterfeit and that which is genuine. You and I, we're not expertise when it comes to that kind of thing. Or false remedies, people that proclaim there are remedies for, or all these cures for diseases, and yet really they are false. We have so many related words. Fraud, lie, deceive, erroneous, spurious, fake. There is an old Bible maxim which will give us the test, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 8, and I want you to notice verse 20, because this is a key verse. This is a key verse when we think of the subject that we're dealing with. Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. And what is the law and the testimony? It's the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I want you to keep that verse in mind. It's a key text. And I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. He says, beware. Beware of false prophets. Be on the lookout. Keep your eyes open. Be careful. Watch. And it's a needful caution in such a day as this in which we're living. Because we're living in the end times. And we think of all the false religion around us with all their false teachers and their false doctrine. And Jesus says, beware. Men will say, I'm a prophet from God. I have a message from God. I am Christ's messenger. Jesus says, beware. There is a feature about the true prophet of God that we ought to mark. And that is, he brings a message from God. And particularly, I want you to grasp this. He brings a message that centers upon Christ. This is one of the great features or marks of the true man of God. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when the Lord in his resurrection drew alongside these men as they walked. The Lord who is the prophet of all prophets. You remember what the Lord said to these men, the message that he brought to them that day as they walked and talked? Well, I want you to think of Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. He says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. We're talking about the Old Testament prophets here. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, expounded the things that concerned himself. And in his exposition, he used the Old Testament prophets. He used what Moses, the great prophet of the Old Testament, had to say about him. You see, my friends, a true prophet of God brings a message from God, and that message centers upon Jesus Christ. There's no greater message than that. Paul says we preach Christ, and we preach him crucified. Philip, he preached Christ when he went down to the city of Samaria, and that's what transformed that city and brought joy to the city. It was the message of Christ. The apostles preached Christ. And the desire of the true prophets in the New Testament was he must increase, we must decrease. Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. He is to be exalted. And the purpose or the reason is this. The whole purpose of God in this earth centers upon his Son, centers upon Christ. There's not a greater purpose. There's not a higher end. There's not a more glorious outcome. From ancient times, Christ was promised. We think of all the history. We think of all the prophecy. We think of all the message of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And it revolves around a person. This book, the Bible, that we have in our hands today, it revolves around a person from start to finish. It's the person of Christ. A true prophet of God, therefore, will proclaim all those great and essential truths surrounding the person of Christ. We mentioned John the Baptist. What was his message? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he pointed men to Christ. And he pointed men specifically to him as the Lamb who would be slain, as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, who carries away the sin of the world, which he did in the sacrifice and the great atonement that he made. And the Lord did that, and John the Baptist proclaimed it as a true prophet of God. Peter, the great Pentecost preacher, he had the same message. Preached it on the day of Pentecost, preached it later. You remember Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation outside of Christ. And that's the message that Peter, as a true prophet of God, proclaimed to the people of his time. Paul, and we sometimes refer to him as the greatest preacher, the greatest missionary, and the greatest theologian. He preached Christ. And the Bible says that he preached Christ, that he is the Son of God. When did he do that? He did that as soon as he was saved. So you can say right at the beginning of his ministry, he preached that Christ was the Son of God. And you read the conversion story of the apostle in Acts chapter 9, and you will see immediately he went and he preached Christ. But glory to God, he preached Christ right to the end of his ministry. This is how he finished his course. You can mark him there with the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read the great doctrinal statements of Paul, you will see how important the person and the work of Jesus Christ really is. We have an example of that if you turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 will be a familiar text to you, where it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, so forth and so on down the chapter. And in those couple of verses that we have read together, we're speaking here about justification, we're speaking about redemption, we're speaking about propitiation, the blood of Christ, righteousness for the remission of our sins. These are the great doctrines that surround the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that are so important. And you study the book of Romans and study the book of Galatians, these two, we have to say, doctrinal epistles of the Apostle Paul. And you will see the emphasis there that is put upon the great doctrines that surround our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. You see, my friends, the heart of the gospel is Christ. And the heart of the message of the gospel is this word, justification. May we never depart from that. It is right here that the false prophets err. Usually. This is where they go wrong seriously. It was so in Paul's time. When we think of the Judaizers, when we think of grace being mixed with works, where men would proclaim the message of Christ, but they would also proclaim the law and the keeping of the law and works as being necessary for salvation. It was back right then in the time of the great apostle. So you've got to beware of false prophets, because it's still about today. False prophets that bring another message about Christ. False prophets that bring another message about salvation and redemption and justification. If you hear any other gospel than that which has been revealed in this book, my friends, I want you to know, and Jesus wants you to know, it's a fraud. It's a counterfeit. It's a deception. Men that come with such a message are false prophets. They're speaking a lie. Now, there are lesser matters that a man might err on. You can't err on justification. Now, that's pivotal to your salvation, your eternity. But there are other matters that people might err on. One is a subject that we're actually open on in the Free Church, the subject of baptism. And there are two main sides to that. But we have to say, even though we are open on the subject, somebody is in error, somebody is wrong. Or you can think of the subject of prophecy. And you've heard of premillennialism and postmillennialism and amillennialism. And great men of God, we have to say, espousing all those three main views that there are. But somebody has to be wrong. They can be in error. And you can think of church government. We believe that the Bible teaches that Presbyterianism is the proper church government, the government that God has given to govern in his church on earth, a church that is governed by elders. But we do have other great men of God that were congregational, or we think even of the Episcopalian church. Somebody is in error. Or we can think of the trichotomy nature of man. And you've all heard about the trichotomy nature. That's a three-part to our makeup. Or the dichotomy nature of man, the two-part makeup of our nature. I'm saying this because there are those matters where we can differ. There are those matters where we can err. But we can't err when it comes to the matter of justification. Now, you want to get it right in all accounts, as right as you possibly can this side of eternity. But these matters and many others, now listen to this, will not damn your soul, will not bring you to hell. However, the moment a person deviates from the purpose of God in Christ, he is sinking into deep error and falsehood. And Jesus says, beware, I want you to mark that man and have nothing to do with him. Because justification is central. When men depart from this fundamental truth, they are false prophets, because there's only one way of salvation. When you think of this warning from Christ, beware of false prophets, you want to note the context of it. And the context of it is the other two verses that I've mentioned that we preached on last week, verses 13 and 14, where the Savior there speaks in very, very clear terms about eternal matters, when he says about the straight gate and the wide gate and the broad way, the place of destruction. And then he speaks of the straight gate, the narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And it is immediately in that context that verse 15 comes, beware of false prophets. You see, there's only two gates. There are only two ways. There are only two kinds of travelers. There are only two destinations. It's heaven or hell at the end of the journey. And you take heed when men begin to tell you that there are many ways, there are various destinations, or that there is no such place at all as destruction. Would you be kept from the broad road? Beware of false prophets. That's the message of Christ. Very quickly, and it will be very quickly, there is their deception. Note the little phrase, sheep's clothing. You want to mark the appearance. It's one of great deception and duplicity. They have an outward look that of a harmless creature. They are very innocent and plausible. They pretend to be sheep. And that's a symbol of the Lord's true people, the sheep. And they're pretending to be the sheep. Outwardly, they appear so harmless, meek, useful, and all that's good. They make themselves out to be holy men, men sent from God, men with a divine message. But that's no wonder. Because even Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. And if the devil has done that, it's no wonder that the devil's servants, the false prophets, have transformed themselves into the appearance of sheep. The reference to sheep's clothing may have a thought to the fine garments worn by the scribes and the Pharisees. We think of that verse in Luke chapter 20 and verse 46. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. And those robes were, my understanding, made of sheep's wool. And they love greetings in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. Can you think of people like this? Modern day prophets. Holy men, as they say they are. Bishops in their long garments. Professing prophets, all dressed up in their fine clothing. Possessing the outward appearance of gentility and humility. And they come to tell you that there's another way to heaven. And they seem so plausible. Joseph Smith. Charles Russell. Some of the televangelists, and I don't watch them, but I know of them. And the modernistic preachers of today. Well, Christ wants us to know these things. No matter how they look, no matter how they sound, no matter how plausible they seem, no matter even if they can do miracles, put their teaching under the microscope of the Word of God. Test them by the Scriptures, and if they speak not according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them. That's the rule. That's the maxim. Their deception. They're in sheep's clothing. And then thirdly, where time is away, their destructiveness. Jesus says they are ravening wolves. It's not the look of the man. It's not his appearance that really counts. It's not how he sounds. It's not even the many followers that he has. Because I tell you this, the great prophet of the end time, the Antichrist himself, the whole world will wander after him. And we see it here today through the earth with these false prophets. There is a great wandering after them. But it's not their appearance that really counts. It's the heart. It's what they are on the inside. It's the message that they bring. The false prophet is rotten inside. And more than that, he is very destructive. He's a ravening wolf. He's not only a sheep or appears as a sheep. He is the sheep's worst enemy. Because in reality, he's a wolf. You know, false prophets scatter the sheep. Think of the Gospel of John and the chapter 10 where our Savior speaks about the true shepherd himself and what you and I ought to be as his people. He says in verse 12, in contrast to himself being the good shepherd, he says, but he that is an hireling, that's the false prophet, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep, the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. That was one of the great concerns of the Apostle Paul, after a faithful ministry, that this would happen after he left the people of God. And he's saying farewell to the elders and the people at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He's reminding them of his ministry among them and how he had brought them as a faithful man of God, a faithful prophet, the Word of God. But he says, I'm fearful. And this is what he was fearful about in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And he uses the word take heed. That's the same kind of expression is beware. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He's speaking to the elders here at Ephesus. To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The false prophet scatters the sheep. This is their work. To drive them away. To drive them away from God. To drive them away from the true shepherd. To drive them away from one another. To drive them away from green pastures and still waters. Look out for them. Look out for them, says the Lord. False prophets also devour the sheep. They are ravening. Ravening wolves. That word ravening is a word that is used to describe a ferocious wild animal which hunts for prey. And the thought here is to devour voraciously. It works very much like the work of the devil. You can't read our text and the words that the Savior expresses here with regard to the work of the false prophets being that of the ravening wolf without thinking of it as a similar expression that is used by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 18, or verse 8. And he's referring there to the devil being a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to see this. The false prophet devours the sheep. The false prophet does not care for the souls of men. The false prophet does not love men for God. He has other motives, and worst of all, he will destroy them. He will take them to hell. Now, Christ wants you to know the truth. Just as really and truly as he wanted the people of his time that he spoke this sermon to know the truth. And he gives the warning. Beware of false prophets. These false prophets that seem like sheep because they put on the clothing of the sheep. They have the appearance of the sheep. They have the appearance of what a prophet ought to be, but they are nothing more than ravening wolves. That's what they are. Jesus says, I want you to know that. This sermon has been preserved in the record of the Bible so that we have it today. So that we can have the same warning from the lips of our Savior. Jesus desires that you are saved from error. He wants you to be aware of false doctrine. He wants you to come to a true knowledge of himself. We're dealing here with serious issues. With eternal matters. We're dealing with your precious, immortal soul. What road are you on? That is the context here. You make sure that you're on the right road, that you're not deceived by false prophets or by the devil himself. Beware. Know these things. Make sure that you are warned about them. Oh, dear friends, we are talking about your eternity. That's how serious it is. And Jesus, as he speaks of the narrow road and the broad road, he says, I want you to be very careful because there are going to be false prophets who will tell you different. Don't you be fooled by them. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one way to heaven, to life itself, and that is Christ. Have you taken that way? Have you come through the straight gate? Have you entered onto the narrow road? Is the end of your journey going to be heaven? That's how serious it is. And the Lord warns you, don't be deceived. May you come to a knowledge of the truth. May your eyes be opened. If you're not a Christian in this service, you've never truly come to the Lord. May you come this day without delay. And those who are the Lord's people, let's continue to stand for the Lord and to stand for the truth of the Word of God and to stand for the message of the true prophet of God that centers upon the person of Christ and this great doctrine of justification. Let's never deviate from it, because that's the heart of the matter, and that's the purpose of God in Christ from all eternity. May the Lord bless his word and make it a challenge to us all.